I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now it's time to take a visit to the beauty shop. That's where our panel of women commentators and journalists get a fresh cut on the week's hot topics. Sitting in the chairs for a new do this week are Bridget Johnson, the Washington, D.C. editor for PJ Media. That's a conservative libertarian news and commentary site with us in our Washington, D.C. studios. With us from New York, Demetria Lucas. She's a contributing editor for TheRoot.com and the author of A Belle in Brooklyn, the go-to girl for advice on living your best single life. Also in New York, Laura Martinez. She's the senior editor at CNET en Español. She's also the founder of the blog, Mi Blog Es Tu Blog. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be
Thank
here.
Thank you for having us.
Now, I realize that there are a lot of important things going on in the world, but Halloween has become the second biggest holiday in this country in terms of spending, interestingly enough. And it seems like every year people push the boundaries with their Halloween costumes. This year's no exception. Julianne Hough from Dancing with the Stars dressed as the African-American character Crazy Eyes from the Netflix series Orange is the New Black. Now, Hough, who is white, used makeup to darken her skin and got a lot of not very positive feedback on this. And she's apologized for her costume. She said she didn't mean to be disrespectful or demeaning. But that's not the only one that's been in the news. I mean, there were two white guys who showed up on social media. One was dressed as Trayvon Martin, and George Zimmerman, the man dressed as Trayvon, was wearing blackface and a hoodie with fake blood. And then the other guy was, you know, photographed, you know, pointing a gun at his head. And then there are these three guys who decided to dress as injured crew members from the Asiana Airline flight that crashed earlier this year. So I just have to ask everybody, Bridget Johnson, you know, how far is too far? Should we just sort of give everybody a kind of politically correct pass for Halloween and just not talk about it? What do you think?
Well, you know, you don't want to get too far with the PC police on this, but I think that all representations of murder victims and disaster victims are probably in the inappropriate category, and you shouldn't go there. And you know, one of my first thoughts with the Julianne Hough costume too was, you don't need to put on any sort of blackface or any sort of skin color to represent a character. You know, for instance, if a black man wanted to be Dracula for Halloween, it would be conveyed with the fangs and the cape and et cetera. You know, he doesn't need to smear anything white on his face.
But, you know, that's it. You raise an interesting question. Would people be equally upset?
Then probably not.
I mean, if you know, who was on Dancing with the Stars? Like, who are some of our favorites who are on Dancing with the Stars? Like, help me out here. Boxer, Sugar Ray Leonard, decided that he wanted to be Dracula and smeared on whiteface. Would we care?
He would be a hot Dracula either way.
He would be a hot Dracula either way. So you think the blackface is too far?
She didn't need to do it. But one of the interesting debates that I've seen, though, is whether Obama masks are good for Halloween. You know, for example, one local reporter on Friday night to a party here, he dressed as 404 Obamacare, one of the hottest political costumes around this year, had the scrubs, wrote 404 on the front, and put on an Obama mask, and he was white. And so that was tweeted, and about half the comments were saying that, oh, he put on blackface, that wasn't appropriate. Well, presidential masks for everybody, you know, have been a long-time tradition. So, you know, how far do we go with that?
I have a George H.W. Bush mask as part of my collection. I just want to be clear. Laura Martinez, what do you think?
Hi, Michelle. Hi. No, I was just going to say, I mean, probably as the only non-American in this panel, I mean, sometimes I have to be very careful what I said and what I think about these things. But, for example, I have been blogging a lot about costumes. So there's like, you can look like Zapata or you can look like a real Mexican this Halloween. Quite frankly, it doesn't offend me. Most of the times, they're just hilarious. They're really funny. I found this costume in a Spanish, like based in Spain, website of a very blonde and blue-eyed guy wearing a very strange sombrero that doesn't look Mexican at all, and a poncho. And it says, you can look like Mexican for only 14 euros. I quite frankly find it honestly funny, but I can understand that the sensibilities in this country and especially regarding to race can be very, very delicate issue and not something to laugh about.
Dimitri, what do you think?
You know, I just don't understand, Michelle, how in like 2013 people don't know that blackface is off limits. Like, we go through this every single Halloween. It's been written about. It's been overdone. You know, I think Ted Danson 20 years ago, you know, he showed up with Whoopi Goldberg in blackface. There was a huge conversation about it then. There's no excuse for adults not to know the history of blackface, how demeaning, how degrading, how stereotypical, how hurtful it is to African Americans, and to still in 2013 dress up. Like, there's just no excuse for this.
Tell me why, though, for people who don't know. I mean, you forget, 1 out of 10 Americans was foreign born. So maybe people don't know that history. So tell us briefly, if you can, why it is that blackface is the third rail of Halloween costuming.
I mean, you know, it goes back to, you know, theater and I guess like the 1800s, 1900s. I mean, people would put on, instead of hiring black people, because of course they couldn't be professional, they would put on, white actors would put on black paint, and they do exaggerated lips and exaggerated eyes, and they would act out stereotypes of African Americans. And a lot of people, for whatever reason, still believe that that's how African Americans exist. Like, you know, being lazy, watermelon eating, pickaninnies, you know, crazy hair, the exaggerated lips, always joking, buffoonery. And that's still associated with black people, and that's definitely more so associated with blackface. So in 2013, to go smear some paint on your face, like, it just doesn't make sense. If you want to be a black character, like Julianne Hough, for instance, like the character that she was portraying is Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black. She has very distinct hair, a very distinct outfit. It's a prison guard. Between the hair and the prison guard, everyone would have got like, oh, you're doing Orange is the New Black. Are you Crazy Eyes? There was no need for the extra paint.
Okay, so what's your take on this? Is the blackface the dividing line, or is it just racial and ethnic costumes, period, you think should be the dividing line? Dimitri, I'll ask you this.
I mean, I think if you want to dress up as a black person and you are non-black, just take the predominant features. You know, if you want to do Lil Wayne, then, you know, do some locks. You know, get a Sharpie and cover yourself in tattoos. I think it's also important that if we're going to do race things, that we should stay away from stereotypes. You know, we don't need to see another, you know, a Blood or a Crip gang members. We don't need to see any, you know, just all-purpose ghetto black girl, just calling yourself a black girl and, you know, the gold teeth and the exaggerated outfits. Let's stick with specific people and let's try not to, you know, offend as many people as possible with our costumes.
Okay. Okay. Laura,
I just wanted to jump right in because it's true and I understand that perfectly. But for example, my boyfriend and I went to a Halloween party a year ago, and I saw a couple of people dressed up as French, right, wearing a beret and carrying a baguette. Another one was actually coming in with a madeleine on their hand. It's funny how nobody thought that was a stereotypical, but I guess it's true that when it comes to Indians or when it comes to Mexicans or when it comes to blacks, that's a completely different conversation. I honestly don't think my boyfriend, who's French, got offended because someone came carrying a baguette showing that it's a stereotypical French mm-hmm. person.
Bridget?
I was just thinking of one costume that I saw on a site that was pointed out as being stereotypical and racist, and it was an Arab costume, and it was a white thobe, and it was the red and white Saudi headdress, and then it came complete with the goatee, which automatically made me think of King Abdullah. And I thought, you know, what a great costume that would make, for example, for a woman to wear and then hold a steering wheel. You know, make a call. You can mock a regime. You can mock, you know, ideas without mocking an entire people. So
maybe it depends on how much power you think these people have. I mean, because I don't know too many negative stereotypes about the French. I don't that they have
right.
to that they are burdened by.
Right.
You know what I mean? Being like great lovers, great food. You know, whatever. I mean, it might be a stereotype, but. Is your life negatively affected by the fact that people think that? You know, I think maybe that's the... Well, I don't know. So let's move on to talking about stereotyping. Let's talk about some bad shopping experiences that have been in the news. Like, several African Americans have accused Barney's and Macy's in New York of racial profiling. They say that police or security stopped them after they made expensive purchases and accused them of theft or fraud. And the New York State Attorney General is investigating the claims. And one of the reasons we're talking about Jay-Z in the middle of all this is that he's working on a limited edition clothing and jewelry line with Barney's. But a lot of the people saying, okay, you know, what's up with that, given that you know, if these people are treating these customers badly, why are you engaged with them? So, Dimitri, you wrote about this for The Root. And what do you think? You said Jay-Z shouldn't be the focus of this.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the young man was stopped or arrested and, you know, for his $350 purchase, legal purchase with his own money, which Chase finally backed up. But the conversation quickly went from, oh, shopping while black, this is an issue. And then we just like fast forwarded right past that 0 to 90 to all of a sudden talking about Jay-Z. And I understand Jay-Z makes the story a little sexier. It's a, you know, mega celebrity tie in. But, you know, he's on the cover of newspapers and all of a sudden everyone's discussing what should we be doing, about what Jay-Z should be doing about his Barney's tie in. But no one's really discussing what's the core issue here, which is racism. Like, black people, this shopping while black isn't new. Black people have always had, you know, quote unquote, unique encounters while shopping. Everything from, you know, being followed around the store, you know, the ask for ID with a credit card, pointing you to the sales rack, getting asked, you know, whether if you're wearing a coat and a purse, do you work here? But we're not talking about that. We're just talking about Jay-Z, and Jay-Z is not the core issue with shopping while black.
Bridget, what do you think?
Yeah, I worked retail loss prevention in college when I was a criminology major, and I made about 200 busts during that time. The one thing that you learn is there is no profile to somebody
Thank
who
you.
Comes in and shoplifts. Or the only profile that I ever really saw to people who were doing credit card fraud was if they came in and they indiscriminately started grabbing a bunch of expensive stuff, piled it on, and then handed the card over with a smile, then you'd call the clerk and say, check with the company. You know, call the company first.
So why does this persist? Because I've heard experts like yourself, or people who've been in the field themselves, say this over and over again. So why does it persist?
I think there's something going on deeper here, especially when you link it with the Macy's case with the Treme star. If it turns out, as Barney's and Macy said, that none of their employees called in this person as suspicious, you know, what is there going on with the NYPD doing some sort of operation in the stores, being called by people within the stores, et cetera, with such scant evidence? I think it's a much wider thing, and it probably goes back to the police department.
Before we go, I do want to ask about the rapper Kanye West. He's working hard. That's the president of the Kim K fan club, now engaged to reality star Kim Kardashian. I know this is on top of everybody's list. I know this is like the kind of thing you wake up in the morning thinking about, right? So, but I do have to ask, because yesterday in an interview with Ryan Seacrest, he compared his fiance to First Lady Michelle Obama. He said the First Lady has been on the cover of Vogue twice and Kardashian still waiting for the call, but that she is really the first lady of fashion. So, Dimitri, I'm sorry, I'll have to give you this one. Yes or no? Is Kim K more influential than Michelle Obama when it comes to fashion?
You know, Kanye West and his delusions of grandeur that are now extending to his fiance, like, I really can't with him right now. But to credit, I actually do think that it's weird. Are we talking about quantity or are we talking about quality of influence? Because Kim K does have a global reach. We can't deny that. But, you know, quality of her reach versus Michelle Obama, there's no question Michelle Obama blows her out the water.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now. Demetria Lucas is a contributing editor to TheRoot.com with us from our bureau in New York. Laura Martinez is founder of the blog MeBlog S2 blog. You know, this is one of my favorite blog names of all time. I'll just say that whenever I can. I'll just say it to say it. Bridget Johnson is the Washington, D.C. editor for PJ Media. That's a conservative, libertarian news and commentary site with us in Washington, D.C. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.